Well, we're going to see if I remember how to do this. I've been out of the pulpit a couple of weeks. We had the Bachmans here, and then we were away. I was at Mars Hill Church in Seattle last week at the Ballard campus. Four services on a Sunday morning at the one site, and they seat about 1,700 people. And we do it better than them. No. It was great. We had a wonderful time. I don't know how many of you saw the poster on the way in. Let me just give you a plug for our summer series. Starts next week. We're doing the parables. Jesus, as he was talking, kept saying, the kingdom of heaven is like. And then he would try to relate to people something that they could grasp onto and a concept about the kingdom of heaven. And so you aren't going to want to miss the summer series, parables out of the Bible. And it'll be good. I trust. I hope. No, it will be. Let's pray. Father, we're going to crack your word open, and I'm just your humble servant. Would you give me the words to speak? And would it come with power to transform lives? And so by your Holy Spirit, open our hearts to what you would like to say to us today. In the name of Jesus, we carefully ask, and all God's people said, amen. The title for today is Praise and Prayer. Chris talked to you about gathered and scattered worship last week, and I want to talk a little bit about part of worship that we do, and it's called praising God and praying. And let me just set the stage. I've been involved in church since conception. My dad was a pastor. He tells stories of how we would go to do a Sunday school morning service, and then he was planning a church in another town, and an afternoon service, and then back for an evening service. So I was like three times a day. I could skip church for a year, and I'd still be covered, if you know what I mean. So I've been involved in church a long time, been around the church, been around the people of God, and I'm interested in something. You know, relationships are hard, and people, I know some of you aren't going to believe this, are imperfect. Well, we hurt each other. We disappoint one another. We have expectations of one another that go unmet. And it's easy for us in our focus and in what we do to start to look at the people around me instead of the mission that we're on. Serving together takes effort, and it's not really our default setting. How many of you wake up and go, I wonder who I could call and serve God with today? Yeah. How many of you wake up and go, what's on my calendar and what could I get out of this week? That's kind of more like it. And we live in a community that's more and more working at a frantic pace, right? Like a frantic pace. And we're just running from one event to the next and one thing to the next. And reflective, quiet time is hard to come by. And there just always seems to be something to do. And it's difficult for us to maintain focus. It's easy to look around us and compare ourselves to how we're doing based on how other people are doing or what other people are involved in. When I have prayer times with people, I always ask two questions. I say, give me an item of praise and an item of prayer. And Paul patterns this praise and prayer thing for us in our passage. But I want you to know that I see something in this passage that I've never seen necessarily in the church the way I think it should be. And we're going to talk about focus, about praise, about prayer, and then we're going to relate that all back to a gathered worship and community and what it would look like if we could somehow employ this in our midst and what it might look like to a world around us and people around us. If this is how we could get to be. So, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 7 to 13. If you have your Bibles, get it out. If not, it's on the screen. We're going to read it. Therefore, brothers, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged. Now, don't you love Paul? How he kind of just, you can blast past something really important. In all our distress and persecution. Just dwell on that for a minute. Ever been there? Distress and persecution? I'm the only one? Oh, yeah, there's some others. Somebody's fessing up. I've had that. I felt like everybody's out to get me, and I didn't know where to turn, and I didn't know what was going to happen. Now, how many of you in the middle of that could be encouraged by news about others? Yeah. So right away, I'm noticing something. Therefore, brothers, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God? Because of you. Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. Paul has a pattern of praise, and he starts out by saying, we're grateful for your growth. Now look at, he's in a difficult situation. He's being persecuted. He's under duress. He's under distress. And yet when he hears that this little church, this group of people in Thessalonica are growing and are being established and moving forward and that their faith is standing strong, he says, we're encouraged, but now we really live. It's like when his perspective is not on his physical comfort or the circumstances of his life, but the work of God in people and around him and the mission of God being carried out. It's like he gets life from it. What do you get life from? When you could say, now that's living. Let's take me, for instance, because I've got the mic and I'm talking. I love riding my motorcycle, right? And if the weather's right and the air is right and the road is curvy and smooth and you just, the only sound is the motor kind of coming through the pipes and the odd scrape of sparks in the corner as the center stand just touches the ground. All is right. It's like, this is what heaven's going to be like. It has to be. It just is so, this is living. Now, some of you will say, oh man, I feel that when. And in your mind, you can relate when you're driving with the top down. And he says, now we really live since you're standing firm in the Lord. He's more than just grateful for their growth, but they're standing firm, they're growing, they're not stagnant, they're not stalled. And what God is doing in their life is giving him incredible joy. Now, we often say, God, would I have your heart? Create in me a pure heart, a clean heart, O God. We ask these questions like, God, more of you, less of me. We're going to die to self and be alive in you. And I want you to see that Paul is somewhat reflective of someone who is at that point where the things that excite and honor the heart of God excite and honor him. Do you see that? And he's more than just grateful for their growth. Their growth is giving him incredible life. It's giving him encouragement. It's giving him excitement. It's like, yes, God is at work and things are happening. And he praises them. Therefore, brothers, in our distress and persecution, we are encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live, since you're standing firm in the Lord. He's grateful for the thrill of being involved. He says, how can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God? He says, now we really live. There's no greater thrill for us than that we were a part of that thing. How many of you know what it means to live vicariously through your children? There's one there. There's one that... my son's playing baseball. He's at the camp out today causing trouble. So I can tell stories about him and he'll never know. And I go to the baseball games, and I played baseball as a kid, and the pitcher, you know, pitching in there, and he's standing in, and when he hits well, or and he's running, and he's enjoying, and he's playing his position, as a dad, you kind of puff up a little, and you kind of you enjoy that, right? And Kareem, she can't even watch when she comes to the game. She's got a book, and she covers her eyes when he's at the plate because she doesn't want to see him strike out or miss, and she's nervous for him. And you sort of live vicariously through your children a little bit, and you celebrate what they do well, and you mourn what hurts them. We're called a family, right? The family of God. And you've got Paul giving some encouragement. He says, my life is pretty tough right now. There's persecution and distress all around me. But man, are you guys ever giving me a lift? You're standing firm in your faith. You're growing. You're not stagnant. You're moving ahead. And the thrill of being involved and being a part of that is one I can never thank God enough for. His focus is really humbling because he just can't believe that God gave them the honor of being a part of something like that. And so he's grateful for the thrill of being involved, and he's grateful for the encouragement that they provide for him. So in his distress and his persecution, he's encouraged by them. He has joy in the presence of God because of seeing what's happening in your life. It says, night and day we pray earnestly that we might see you again. And so he has this pattern of praise. Then he turns to a pattern of what he's praying for them. Now, I'm going to blast through this and then it'll make some sense to you, I hope. In verses 10 to 13... he's asking God that he might be able to stay involved. He says, night and day we pray earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. He wants to be together in person, investing in one another, and he's really asking for a miracle because of their situation, that God would clear a way for them to come back together and share in person. He says, we want to come back and supply what is lacking. The word in the original used to adjust, to equip, to furnish, to mend, to help be more ready, to help be more of what you should be. And there's a constructive building towards this readiness to be who God wants you to be. And what he's asking is that God would provide the way for them to be in a relationship that continues to build and move forward. Now, this is interesting. They miss one another. Now may our God and Father himself, our Lord Jesus, clear the way for us to come to you. Kareen and I were just away for a little while, and we're away from our kids. That's a good thing and a bad thing. And on our way home, we were talking in the truck coming home from Edmonton, and I said, I can't wait to see the kids, and I'm really looking forward to being together. And when we got home, there was hugs and all these adventures that they'd had while we were gone, and we got to share, and we look forward to being together. And as I was preparing for the sermon, I thought, you know, I don't know if I've ever felt that about my church family like this. I don't know if my focus has ever been, I just can't wait to be together, and I can't wait for you to build into me and for me to build into you, and that anything that's lacking is being supplied, that we might be ready to experience God more and more and more together. And yet that's Paul's prayer. And he's asking God that he could stay involved and stay a part of things. Secondly, he asks for abounding love. Look at verse 12. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you'll be blameless. When he asks for abounding love, he asks for it two ways. He says, towards each other and towards others. When he says, may the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other, I want you to see the two things that he's asking for. I want you to see that he's asking for their love to grow towards the inside group and the outside group. Each other. He's really saying, I want you to see each other more and more through God's eyes. I want your love, that selfless putting others ahead of yourself, to increase and to grow. And then I want it to overflow for each other and everyone else. To overflow is to be uncontained or unable to hide. I was talking to my dad this morning. We talk every Sunday morning. And he was telling me about a 50th anniversary he was at. Friends of ours. And what an amazing job the husband had done in just kind of relating his love for his wife and his appreciation for her. And it seems that when something wells up and is full, it overflows and it's evident, right? And so I love the word that Paul chose when he said, I want your love to increase and to overflow for each other and for everyone else. It just wells up and it can't be contained and it spills over and it's just there and noticeable by everybody and fragrant. And then he says, towards others, just as ours does for you, they came to them, they loved them, they've watched them accept Christ, they've watched them grow in the faith. And he's saying, may you see others in the way that we saw you and reach for them. And the key truth here is if our love abounds, our treatment of one another changes. And the world observes that. The final thing he asks for is the power for holy living. He says, may he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. And I want you to see a couple of things that he asks for when he prays for them. Strengthen your hearts. What you're passionate about drives you, right? Your motives and passion drive you? Yes? So, if you're passionate about golf, you're going to want to go to the golf course this afternoon. The things that you love, the things that... And he says, may he strengthen your heart. You know, a deepened heart for God, a strong heart, often gives us new direction and passion. We stop looking around at others and we stop looking at the relational issues and we stop looking at the circumstances and we start being motivated by the mission of God. And so he's asking for the power for holy living, but he starts with saying, may he strengthen your hearts so that you will be found right in God's eyes or blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. Blameless means we understand forgiveness and grant it, that we understand grace and accept it, and that we embrace obedience and practice it. To be holy is to have the power for right living in relationship with God. So let's ask the big question. So what? Told you we'd get there eventually. When there's gathered and scattered worship, part of our gathered worship is commanded by God that we're to come together. We're not to forsake the meeting together of the people of God. He calls us a family. We've gone through the whole gift series. We know that each part brings something to the table and it's supposed to supply what's lacking. And as we come together in gathered worship, we're missing something. And we're missing the community, the love, the passion. You know, some of us come out of guilt, some of us come out of interest, some of us come because we want our kids to be raised in the church. Some of us deeply want to meet with God when we come, but all of us sort of have our own perspective and opinion, and we come in and we're not seeing the passion develop among the people of God, that deep and abounding, abiding love. In fact, we're kind of mean to each other. Some of you will go home today and be quite critical of something that we did. I don't know what, because I can never guess, right? Every week it's different. And some of you will go home and say, oh, that was okay. I didn't get much out of it, whatever. But, you know, not only do we come here to meet with God, we come here together to be encouraged and to pray for one another and to grow in this kind of a relationship. And I want you to see from Paul that praise depends on perspective, okay? He's thankful for God's work in man's life that's transforming, and he's filled with joy at being involved, seeing God active. Remember, his circumstances stink, right? His circumstances really stink. And yet, as he thinks back, he's encouraged by what's happening in their lives and how they're following God and what God's doing. And his perspective is a kingdom perspective, a God perspective, not a him perspective. Praise depends on perspective. To see God transforming lives, to be filled with joy at being involved, to be able to be used of God in someone else's life, to be the thing that's passionate, that's giving him life. What's that look like? Well, if it was happening here, what would it look like? See, we even have trouble imagining it, don't we? God loved us. He sent his son to die on a cross for us. He cares for us deeply and passionately. His mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. He says, I'm a comfort to you when you're hurting, and I'm strength to you when you need it, and I want to be with you every day. And come to me, ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And we're supposed to, as a family, and as a body, as a group, in our gathered worship, reflect some of that heart of God for one another. We're supposed to take great joy at the opportunity to invest in others' lives. When we hear testimonies or stories of God at work, it's supposed to fill us with excitement. And it takes our mind off of where we're at and places our mind on what God's doing. You want to be a people of praise in their gathered worship? Start looking for transformed lives. Start taking joy in being used of God. And start recording it and being public about it. We need more testimonies about what God is doing. We need more people to stand up and say, hey, he spoke to me. He's working in my life. He's doing this for me. And then Paul gives us a pattern for prayer. He asks God for a continued involvement. He's saying, God, if it's possible, clear the way for us to be together again. Open doors that I could share. And my challenge to you as a church is to say, start praying this. God, who around me needs my story? Who around me could I get involved with? Who around me could I begin relationship with that would allow me to love them and to serve them and to invest in them? And if I've had the privilege of that, would you continue to allow me those privileges and not let Satan stand or circumstances stand in the way? Secondly, he prays that their love will fill and overflow, that it would be evident and it would be real. Pray for one another that God's love for us would deeply motivate us and that we would begin to love one another and see one another in that love, that it would fill us, that it would begin to become a motivating passion in our lives, and that it would overflow, spill over. That it would be evident when you walk in the door that this group of people loves one another, they serve one another, they respect one another. And more than that, they love the others in their community and in their world. And they'll do whatever it takes to evidence that. And then finally, pray for one another that the empowerment of God the filling of the Holy Spirit, the ability to have right motives and actions would be ours. There's a great verse in Scripture that says, "Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord." Now here's where I let you all off the hook. You're like, "Oh man, he's just beating on us this morning. We're not this, and we're not this, and we're not this, and we're not this." And guess what? You can't manufacture it. There's nothing I'm going to send you out to do that will bring that change. Only God can bring it. The only thing you can do is make yourself available to be changed. Open yourself up to the work of the Spirit of God and ask Him to transform you and to begin this work in you. Wouldn't it be fun to be a part of this? Not where you have to force yourself through the experience, not where you have to discipline yourself to do this and this and this and this and this. Not where you have to beat up yourself every night and go, "Oh God, I don't love those people. In fact, I don't even like that one." But to say, "Father, I want to know your love so thoroughly and so passionately. Father, I want my heart to change, and I want it to be more like yours. And so I'm opening myself up to that work, and the work of your Spirit in me and through me. Begin to show me. And begin to give me this kind of a passion for what you're doing. And take away the desire for what I'm doing." And then begin to pray for one another the way Paul evidences. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I know that only you do the transforming work. And so I ask that as people surrender themselves to the filling of your Spirit and the work of your hand in their life, that you would, change us. That you would move amongst us and just give us a deep and abiding passion for your things. Would we take great joy in what you're doing? Would it consume us? Would our lives not be about things, money? Would they not just be about busyness and running? But Lord, would your things take importance? And would we know when to stop and when to run and who to talk to? Would we know how to evidence your love? And would we begin to be a people who take absolute encouragement, regardless of our circumstances, in your work in our world? Lord, I pray for these, my friends. And I pray, like Paul, I pray that you would continue to open the doors for us to be involved in one another's lives. Help us make time for community. Help us make time for one another. Give us a sensitivity that when we walk through the door and see the tears in someone's eyes or see the hurt, to go to them and to pray with them and to walk with them. Give us the courage to share our stories with one another. And Lord, would we supply through you and each other the encouragement and the growth and the stimulation for moving ahead and the hope that needs to be there. Secondly, would this love well up and spill over, not only for one another, but for the things that you love in our world? And I just pray that as people open themselves up to you, you would begin that, and that it would begin to fill and to spill and to be noticed by our world. And finally, Father, would your Spirit move freely in this place? And would we be a people who just operate differently, who are transformed by you and who evidence you? And would all who come in here encounter you and have opportunity to change? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.